On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I give our thoughts on the Steve Nash introductory press conference. What were our biggest takeaways? Plus, what did we make of the minor controversy that unfolded surrounding the hiring? All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. I'm your host, Josh Bass. Joining me as always, my fearless co-host, the man who always keeps me in check and grounded, it's Marcus Barahal. Marcus, I missed you. We took a couple of days off to decompress, but I feel like we have a very action-packed episode coming up that I am very excited about. A lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits of not doing a podcast for a while is the news builds up, and so now we'll have a nice juicy pod for the listeners, Josh. Good to be back with you.
Exactly. I know you've been playing a little pickup recently, socially distant and safe, of course.
Not like actual pickup. Yeah, just with Gavin. Shout out to there's no chance he's listening, but shout out to the guy we saw, Omar, who's a Locked On Knicks fan. We told him I co-hosted Locked On Nets. He kind of gave like a, oh, cool, and moved on. But shout out to him. He seemed cool.
He said, do you guys know Wolfie?
Yeah, they talked, like, him and Gavin talked about RJ Barrett, and I kind of tuned out. I just sat down and scrolled my phone.
Yeah, I wonder how long it's going to take us to get recognized. It was just, they got recognized by, or Gavin got recognized just by his voice.
His voice is, it booms. It echoes, it carries. And so this guy was like walking by us, like kind of like maybe 10 feet away, but he heard Gavin and he recognized his dulcet tones. So I don't know when that'll happen for us, Josh. Hopefully soon.
Yeah, that's why he's in the biz. And even I was watching the Steve Nash press conference earlier this week, and even if they didn't introduce, you know, the reporter that was asking the questions, I would just be able to recognize all of them by their voices also. Mm-hmm. I've come a long way. Speaking of that Steve Nash press conference, I think there's a lot to talk about there. Also on kind of the comments and discussion around white privilege and what Stephen A. Smith had said. We'll also get into Nets on some podcasts. Our favorite medium, of course, with Kevin Durant going on J.J. Redick's podcast and Caris LeVert going on one of my favorites, the R2C2 podcast, which is CC Sabathia and the great Ryan Rucco, Yes Network's own. So a lot of good stuff to talk about. Of course, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts and rate us and review us. But Marcus, let's jump right into it. Where should we get started?
Let's start with the little Steve Nash stuff. I think that's still like the most newsy thing. That's like kind of the only real change that's happened is him being brought in. So let's talk about his press conference and that whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. So Sean Marks and Steve Nash sat down in the Brooklyn Nets training center. It was a bit of a weird setup. You know, they were each on stools, kind of socially distanced, much different than a normal press conference. It was kind of just being, telecasted to the reporters who are being patched in and asked questions. So, a bit strange, of course, as everything has been. But, I didn't think there was a ton of really juicy takeaways. I think the most interesting thing is that had already come out was that, you know, Nash was the one that had initiated talks with Sean Marks over the summer, just kind of throwing his name into the ring there. That's probably been the most interesting part of everything. But, you know, besides that, I think it was pretty simple and kind of typical of what you'd expect from a guy in Steve Nash who, you know, is not going to give a ton of juicy quotes. He's not super bombastic. He's just kind of chill and cool, calm, collected, as we talked about last time when we we're discussing him getting announced as the coach.
Yeah, and that's one of the like pros about this hire is that he's not gonna like pull any focus or like do anything crazy off the court. He kind of said everything I think that you would want him to say. You know, he talked about the focus on the defensive side of the ball being a priority, which is obviously important, especially I think given the type of player he was. I think some people maybe thought that, oh, he'd just be like a Mike D'Antoni type who just kind of is all focused on offense and kind of neglects the other end of the floor. So Who knows if he'll actually like follow through with it, but good to at least hear him say, acknowledging the defensive side. And then also his praise for Jacques Vaughn, saying that Jacques was like, he couldn't think of a better person for whom to like work with and to learn from. So seems like that partnership is at least one that both sides were interested in, which is obviously key to making it work. Like if one guy was kind of like backed into a corner, like that wouldn't be the best road for this. So good that both guys seem to be on the same page for right now. Like you said, not a ton of like juicy quotes from Steve Nash. I'm not sure how many of those we're going to get, but good start so far to this era. Like you said, calm, cool, collected.
Yeah, it is a good start. I mean, you know, there's a long track record of, you know, successful NBA coaches being named Steve. You, of course, have Steve Kerr, Clifford, Coach Steve from Big Mouth. So he's kind of completing the Rushmore there. It's a great quartet.
Yeah, it's a prestigious honor to be one of the many Coach Steves, but glad that the Nets finally have their own.
Very, very true. I think a couple other things that were interesting. I mean, you know, as expected, he's acknowledges that he skipped the line a bit, but he wants to learn. You know, he's humble, knows he doesn't have all the answers coming in, as you mentioned, like with Jacques Vaughn there. And that's going to be a huge crutch for him to lean on. I think it was interesting kind of what he talked about with the relationship with Kyrie, because that is obviously going to be a massive kind of make or break thing for him and his tenure as the Nets coach to make it successful. Whether it was Steve taking the job or, you know, Ty Lue or anyone else, that Kyrie relationship has to be solidified. It has to work. So, you know, he talked about how they've had a relationship since Kyrie was a rookie and trained with him a few years ago. So, you know, that isn't necessarily, you know, a panacea for like long-term success necessarily. And doesn't mean that they're, you know, the best of buds or super tight or anything, but, you know, it's at least more encouraging than, you know, saying that they'd never spoken before.
Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to get the best treatment plan available for you. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today, and if approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA, GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA.
Yeah, and I
think that's a good point, because we know, like, Steve Nash and Kevin Durant's relationship, that's kind of been talked about a ton, and we kind of feel like that's rock solid. And KD and Kyrie's relationship, I feel good about, but in this sort of like now triangle of power with the Nets, the Steve Nash to Kyrie link out of those three is probably the weakest. But like you said, I'm glad that Steve seems open to it. I talked about on the breaking news pod when Nash was first hired that he almost joined the 2015 Cavaliers to back up Kyrie. There's definitely been conversations between those two. They definitely seem like they're amenable to working with each other. But for me, that's kind of going to be the one thing to watch, I think, as we head through this offseason, however long it winds up being, and into the early part of the season. Like, if there are struggles, that's probably the relationship that I'm least confident in out of those three guys. So one to watch, but like you said, I think positive that Nash is sort of keeping praise on Kyrie early on, just kind of, you know, making sure everything is on track.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like, there's nothing negative so far, right, which is really what you can ask for.
Yeah.
Also thought it was interesting that he was talking about that he really wants to coach and not be a GM, which I think, like, he connects really well with other players and obviously been a great teammate, so you want to be as close to the team as possible. But there's been some kind of talk, you know, about how grueling the season can be, which he certainly knows, and, you know, some of the stuff with, like, the pain that he was managing with his back and everything like that. So I think there was pros and cons for both approaches. But I think, you know, coaching is probably a better fit for him. And I think he's just someone that wants to be around the action. So I think it is more of a natural fit, but obviously, you know, his experience being the GM of the Canadian national team, I think it can, maybe it's not even applicable, but I think it's not going to hurt him. It can only help him, similar to the Kyrie stuff.
Yeah, and the same as like with his job with the Warriors, where it's not like totally relevant, but it's like kind of in the ballpark, and like you said, it can only help.
Yeah, for sure. Also, shout out to our boy Christian Winfield, who has a couple questions.
He also shout out to him, not just for that, but because he had like a great interview with Kevin Garnett, which I think he's putting it out in a few parts. But I saw he tweeted about that. That's huge.
Oh, I need to check that out. Love our boy Christian. I you know, the one thing that I have to give him a little bit of grief for is that he has three questions, because he asked one initially to Steve Nash, and then he did a follow up where he asked one to Nash and one to Sean Marks. He couldn't have asked, you know, either Sean, basically saying, did you consider the Jeff Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy combo? Or Steve saying, how does it feel knowing that the Van Gundy brothers should actually be in your shoes?
Yeah, he can't. I was like stunned when he brought that up on our pod. But yeah, I would have liked him to run with that a little bit more, you know, just see maybe if Nash was going to bring one of them in to co-coach with him. I don't know.
Yeah, that could have been his thing. And I don't, I don't know if you listened to Bill Simmons' podcast with Rajah Bell, but No, I guess they're super close. And Steve asked Rajah to be on the staff, but he declined, given that it wasn't kind of the right, you know, situation for him and his family right now. And I guess kids that are still, you know, relatively young and don't want to uproot them. And Rajah right now is just kind of focusing on coaching their sports and not really, you know, doesn't want to kind of jump back into the full grind of basketball. But I would have loved to have him on their staff, because he seems really, really insightful, and obviously, you know, can connect with some more of the role player types who are able to kind of, you know, stick it out as a career, and obviously used to playing with a ton of star players. So the role players on this Nets team are going to need to have voices like that to lean on. So that would have been sick. But
yeah, I really liked that podcast, and just kind of hearing from Rajah specifically, like what he thought would make Steve a great coach, and like just hearing how much he influenced sort of the Phoenix game plan offensively, and just like their overall vibe on the court, and hearing that from Mike D'Antoni also, like saying, yeah, a lot of the time we just kind of told Steve, like, you get the ball and just kind of figure it out. So hearing that stuff like makes me a lot more confident in his X's and O's ability. And then just like all the praise that really everyone has kind of thrown on him in terms of being a great teammate. I feel like worst case, like if he's not a great X's and O's coach, he's going to be a good sort of players coach and like have guys on his side. Like it seems like no one dislikes him.
Yeah, that I think that's a big part of it. Like just having a personality that's not polarizing at all.
Yeah.
A massive advantage in life. And also especially the NBA.
Yeah, and like given how mercurial the Nets two top guys can be at times, like that's exactly who you want in there. It's like that steady hand. Like if I think I saw Dinwiddie actually talk about this. Like if we lose four games in a row and KD's upset or Kyrie's upset or DJ's like not getting enough touches or like all these things are happening, like you can kind of count on Steve to be that sort of like level guy and talk to each of those guys specifically and like just kind of ground everyone a little bit more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's going to be something that's relevant, because the Nets are going to have, you know, frustrating losses. They're going to have games where they, you know, streaks where they lose three, four, hopefully not longer than that, but in a row. It's just natural, especially when you have obviously a really talented team, but one that's for all intents and purposes kind of playing together for the first time, given that they didn't have really any time to integrate this year with Kyrie's injury, obviously KD's injury, and then some of those other more ancillary guys, you know, missing the bubble in the first round of the playoffs. So There's going to be a huge learning curve. And I think having a steady hand there is, you know, something that will be much needed, and not a sexy thing, but something where when it does play out, I think we're going to be very happy that, you know, Nash is there kind of steadying the ship with all these, you know, personalities at play.
The improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. They've got 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut options. Here are their six new ones. You've got caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. Can't decide which one to have because they all sound so good. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah, I think moving on to a topic that also got a ton of headlines in the news is kind of that white privilege conversation that Stephen A. Smith was definitely talking about. Any impressions on that, Marcus?
I think it's a good point to bring up. And Steve Nash said as much in his press conference. Like, I think all of the responses I've seen, Jay Williams tweeted about it, who's obviously close with KD. Everyone is I think on the same page of like, obviously white privilege is a real thing. And it's something that like impacts hiring specifically in like really toxic ways a lot of the time. And I think Steve said like, he acknowledges that. And at the same time, he doesn't think that that necessarily played a role in this, specific hiring. Jay Williams in his tweet said, it's not white privilege. It's that two superstar black athletes ultimately made the decision and we know who they are and what they're about. So I definitely see where Stephen A is coming from in that, like the other guys who were being considered, Jock Vaughn, Ty Lue, Mark Jackson, all these other guys, who have more head coaching experience, who are black, who knows if they'll get another shot, in this cycle. I feel like Ty Lue will. Jock Vaughn, we've seen, stay with the Nets. Mark Jackson, who knows, but like, regardless, I totally see his point. At the same time, I think this is obviously a unique case given like Steve Nash, two-time MVP, his like playing resume kind of speaks for itself. Like we've talked about this whole podcast, his personality kind of speaks for itself. And like, I do hear the point that like, how many times has an unexperienced black head coach been given a team with the aspirations that this Nets team has? You know, we've seen guys like Doc Rivers and Jason Kidd get jobs right away, but that wasn't necessarily with superstar teams. Kidd was hired before the Nets made that trade for KG and Pierce and them, so the expectations were a little bit different. I totally hear that point. I just think that this specific instance is not quite an example of what Stephen A. is talking about. I think it's still an important conversation to be had and an important conversation to be brought up. I just don't think it totally lines up one-to-one in this specific instance. Is that what you thought, Josh?
Yeah, no, it totally is. I mean, I think that, like, did Steve Nash have an easier time getting this head coaching gig because he's white? Yes, I don't think anyone's denying that. At the same time, is he not qualified? I would disagree with that. I think he's a really good choice for it. And whenever you're dealing with kind of like Pantheon Hall of Fame players that have like, especially as like cerebral mind for the game as Nash does and the kind of like floor general approach, they're going to get gigs whenever they want to. I mean, like Magic Johnson essentially, you know, becoming coach of the Lakers a couple years after he had retired for the first time. So it's like, whenever you're talking about like a Rushmore, you know, not Rushmore, but Pantheon Hall of Fame player, they can always get a gig. I mean, if Vince Carter said, hey, I want to go straight into coaching as opposed to, going to the broadcasting booth. And obviously Nash is a better player than Vince was, but Vince probably would have gotten a look and probably gotten a job for maybe more of a rebuilding type team. But I think different guys just have different things that they want to go into. And, if you want to compare Nash to like a Sam Cassell type, like Cassell was nowhere near the player that Nash was. So, I think that's just kind of the benefit that you get of being a Hall of Fame player, a two-time MVP, that you can skip the line, just because there's not many people that have been in that rarefied air. I mean, you know, there's, you know, probably less than, you know, 10 or 15, multiple time MVPs in the NBA as a whole. So, Nash rightly so earned it, wasn't made harder to get a job because he is white, but you can't say that he got the job solely because of white privilege. I don't think it's fair to him.
Yeah, totally. And like you said, like a guy who I think is closer to Nash's level in terms of as a player, probably or definitely actually better, is Tim Duncan, who's not a head coach, but from what I've seen, it seems like he like was trying to learn under Pop and like do that sort of thing. I think if Tim Duncan had like said, like, I want to be the Nets' next head coach, I think he probably would have been hired. Like, I think, like you said, a guy of that stature who expresses interest in that sort of job, you kind of just give it to them. And to your point also, it's like extremely rarefied air. I think it's 13 guys have won at least two MVP awards, and Nash did it back to back. So it's like a very small set of guys. So it's a very specific case.
Yeah. The only thing that, like, I guess the only counter to that is a guy like Patrick Ewing that was continuously passed over head coaching jobs, but he hasn't done a great job at Georgetown. That program's a bit of a mess. And I also do think there is a huge bias towards having guards as opposed to big men.
I think that's a big factor in this, because a lot of these guys that we're talking about, like Derek Fisher too, Jason Kidd, it's mostly point guards. It's mostly guys who had the ball in their hands and like had to make those decisions. And so that skill set you would think would translate to coaching, where you're kind of like the point guard, it's like commonly said, it's like an extension of the coach, the coach on the floor. A guy like Chris Paul, like if he retired and was like, I want to be a head coach, I'm sure he could get hired tomorrow. Like, I think that those kinds of guys, those high assist guys, those guys with the ball in their hands who make those decisions, I think, yet like you said, the bias is going to go towards those types of guys.
Yeah, even a guy like Byron Scott, who was like, you know, decent point guard, obviously played on championship teams, but wasn't like a top guy by any stretch of the imagination, only had to be an assistant for like 2 years before he got the Nets gig originally.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah. I think we're on the same page with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree, but I think healthy conversation to have.
Yeah.
But don't think there's a ton of, you know, merit to the argument. And I think Steve Nash did handle it very gracefully, though, kind of acknowledging that, you know, it can be at play at times, but, you know, not super relevant to the situation. Obviously, you know, his resume speaks for itself.
That is going to do it for this edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. Josh and I did continue this discussion. We talked more about the recent podcast appearances by both Kevin Durant and Caris LeVert. A lot of Nets media going on. Plus, we give our thoughts on the conference finals that are soon to be approaching, as well as the Game 7 between the Clippers and the Nuggets tomorrow night. That podcast, part two of this discussion, will be up tomorrow morning. So make sure that you're subscribed to us for that. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Nets. Josh is at JMBass_. I am at Marcus Barahal. And yeah, we'll be back in your ears tomorrow to continue our Nets talk and to talk NBA playoffs in general. Until then, be well. Bye.